Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
At our church, we have people repeat a prayer who want to place their faith in Christ.
Jesus did all the hard part. He did everything but pray your prayer.
I'm going to ask you just to pray with me right now. Just say these words with me.
You can say those words every day for the rest of your life and die and be separated from God.
The scripture does not say that Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who would like to ask me into their hearts?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The world is like Laurel and Hardy. This is Wretched Radio. Chances are, unless you're old and curmudgeonly, you're not familiar with Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. These were comedians back in the 20s, 30s, 40s who were all the rage. They were right up there with Martin and Lewis. That probably didn't help you figure out who they are. They were comedians who were dithering. It was two guys who found themselves in different scenarios, working different jobs, being a piano mover, trying to get across a bridge, and it was nothing but hijinks. The character, however, that was the one who was apparently smarter, would come up with a solution for the problem, and inevitably, it would do nothing but exacerbate the very problem that they themselves had created. That's why the world is like Laurel and Hardy. They create the problem. They then come to the rescue saying, we have a solution for you. And what is that solution? Nothing but fuel that gets thrown onto the fire that makes the problem even greater than it originally was. And we see that all the time, especially, dare I suggest, when it comes to the subject of mental health. That is a term that was coined somewhat recently. I know that because I listened to the Transform podcast with Dr. Greg Gifford, which you should too. Woo! His series that he's on right now is about how to not be a passive husband. I got a funny feeling there's a fair amount of kidney punches that are being received because he made it clear that there are so many women who are longing for a leader husband, not an obnoxious, overbearing patriarch. They just want a guy to be, you know, a guy and do what he was built to do. And that is to lead the home, to be the one who's the protector of the home, the initiator in the home, the most responsible one in the home. And these are guys who are getting along in life just fine overall, but they're just passive and they let everything fall onto the wife. He started part one. You should really plug into this because chances are, sir, he's going to find something helpful for you about you where you can go, uh-oh, I think I've been doing that. And I grant you, this does get a little bit tricky because you can point out a problem that appears to be a problem or a symptom of a problem that isn't necessarily a problem. For instance, and I will say this in my own defense, there is somebody in our home who is much better at numbers than the other one. And it ain't I. That's right, ain't I. So I did a predicate nominative with bad grammar. The point is, Mrs. Friel's way better at that. Now, I'm engaged when it comes to taxes. I'm engaged when it comes to taking a look at anything that is government related. But when it comes to the day-to-day operation of the Friel household, she takes care of the number stuff because she's just plain better at it. Now, you could say, ah, you're a passive husband. And that is true, which is why when Greg Gifford suggested that could be a sign of a passive husband, I had to stop and go, is it I? Am I being that way too? So you do have to be careful with this. And I would suggest to you, and maybe Greg will bring this up in his next podcast, the only way to know is if you ask your wife, do you feel like I'm abandoning ship? That I'm just spending too much time in the basement watching the Players Golf Tournament? How's about that, Scottie Scheffler? I just read about it online. I didn't watch it myself because I'm not a passive husband. The point is, tune in to Greg Gifford's Transform podcast because men, we are under assault. And you are encouraged to be passive. In fact, Jimmy, I heard somebody just preached a sermon on Sunday talking about men and the mockery of men in our society, Somebody had six demonstrations of men who are ridiculed to be made to look like dithering idiots.
Who
Do you
that?
Know anything about that?
No. I'm preaching it.
So we're just going to flop right here.
Well, I'm preaching.
We're done because you refuse to give it up. Well, is that what's happening here?
I just want to tell the truth. I didn't preach it Sunday. I'm preaching it this coming Saturday.
Oh, so this you're giving it away now.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't worry. Nobody at your church listened.
Probably not.
All right, who are the six men who look silly, or at least a few of them?
A few of them. I mentioned Homer Simpson, the guy from The Office.
Ned Flanders looks like a dithering idiot, too.
Yeah.
As a Christian. Okay, so the guy from The Office.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Michael Bean, or not Michael Bean, that's Michael Scott. Mr. Bean. Do you remember Mr. Bean?
How do you know these things, Jimmy? Are you a passive husband? You no, watch all these things?
I did as a kid.
I see. All right, so they're made to look like knuckleheads.
Yeah, that's how media portrays men today.
Well, it goes back to Dagwood Bumstead,
mm-hmm.
who was a contemporary of Laurel and Hardy, which gets us back on track. Laurel and Hardy, they acted like they were quite brilliant, especially Oliver Hardy. Such funny stuff. Clean. And then they would come into a calamitous situation, and he would say, just leave this to me. I've got this figured. Sort of like the captain, and the skipper, not the captain, the skipper on Gilligan's Island. He acted like he was smart, and he wasn't. And he didn't fix the problem. He actually made it worse. And that's why Oliver Hardy and the skipper are like the world. Because they are unmoored from Christian values, from biblical principles, which align with reality. This is the way that it is supposed to work. This is how we are to live. That is the best for us. They have jettisoned, deconstructed all of that. And we see the statistics. We've actually got science for this, if you consider social science to be science. The people who are depressed, the people who are lonely, the people who are suicidal. How did this phenomenon happen? Why are people more miserable, depressed, and lonely today than they were, say, 50 years ago? And you have to take a look at our society and conclude the world system, which has taken over, it has supplanted Christian values, has produced the fruit of misery. And then they step in and say, we'll help you with that. Case in point number one, this is from NBC News. This is a five-page article, five pages, to support the headline, Six Weighted Stuffed Animals That Can Help Adults and Kids Relax. Would you like to hear how the world would like to help people who are apparently a little wound up and stressed out? I'll just read for you the first paragraph. This is the world. By the way, they consulted with psychiatrists and psychologists to determine which one of the stuffed animals that are presented on the marketplace that are good for helping adults cope. Here's what they said. Chances are you've heard about the... This is insanity. Chances are you've heard about the potential benefits of using a weighted blanket. For example, research. Research has found that they can help decrease anxiety and help with insomnia. Well, okay, how's about the fact that you put something heavy that surrounds somebody, it makes you sleep more? Big deal. That's just a natural physiological phenomenon. Back to the article. Looking for something a little lighter, more portable, and cuter? Weighted stuffed animals are the answer. Thank you, Oliver Hardy. Less cumbersome than their blanket counterparts, weighted stuffed animals offer similar calming benefits and are a great option for kids, although anyone can use them, says this woman, a licensed clinical psychologist and assistant professor at the Yale School of Medicine. You're feeling stressed, anxious, lonely? Come on, adult! Buy a stuffed animal! And it's like Lucy pulling the football out from Charlie Brown again. We talked to experts to learn what you should know about weighted stuffed animals before buying one. We also rounded up a handful of options to purchase for yourself or a loved one, regardless of their age. Jimmy, pick your favorite. These are the criteria. Weight, fabric size, easy to clean, heatable or freezable, and a good return policy. This is the type of stuff that should go into a Yale medical journal. And so the winners are Warmy's Black and White Cow, filled with flaxseed and dried lavender to promote relaxation. You can place it in a microwave to warm it up, stick it in the freezer to make it chilly. It also offers, if you prefer, a sloth, bear, lion, or shark. Plus, animal wraps and pairs of hugging animals.
Oh, that's going to help right there.
You got your Hugimals, Charlie the Puppy, weighted stuffed animal. A weighted lap pad puppy, the green dinosaur, Ellie the elephant, and a large Huggette pillow, whatever that is. The world has created a lot of sadness, a lot of confusion, a lot of meaninglessness. There's nothing transcendent that the world offers. We are nothing but animals. That's what they keep telling us. That's what the other scientists say. We're just like those animals. And look at those animals have human characteristics. See, we're all the same. We're not. We're image bearers. We're better than the sparrows. We're better than the lilies of the field. And the world that tells you, no, you're primordial goo making kids feel, offer them weighted, stuffed animals for a cure. This is Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies,
Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don,
don't interrupt soon.
Time to start.
But I'm so relaxed and comfortable. I'm just snuggling with my weighted stuffed animal therapy thing. This is Wretched Radio. The world offers wisdom. What does it produce? It produces It produces really bad stuff is what it produces. Doom, displeasure, agony on thee. Why? Because the world system is anti-God. It's anti-Bible. It's anti-Christ. And that means it is going to have negative side effects. What makes it more is that the world then, identifying the misery that it itself has created, and steps in and says, we'll fix it. And they offer stuffed animals to cuddle with that, well, they're not as cumbersome as the weighted blanket. It's a weighted stuffed animal, and it's going to make you feel oh so good. And so an entire industry, there's a number of companies making these weighted stuffed animals because adults, these are not just for children. They're for adults because they are desperate and they believe the world and they listen to the world. And I see this as an amazing opportunity for the church not to suddenly become the therapeutic center. We don't turn the church into something that Jesus didn't intend for it to be, but we can recognize the world is hurting, and we do this already. We do this already. Do you ever think about, for instance, supporting ministries that dig wells for people overseas, provide food for people overseas? Or nationally for that, does your church have a food pantry, a clothing closet where you give away these things? Why do we do it? Well, it's kind. We see the world is needy. If we have additional resources, we offer it to them. Why? As a demonstration of God's love shown toward us through his son, Jesus Christ, dying for us while we were yet sinning. Because we have been shown so much love, because we have been shown so much forgiveness, we want to show it demonstrably to the world. And we do that already with physical needs. But what about emotional needs? Now, I've stated this before. We cannot turn the Christian message into therapy speak. Oh, you're sad? Jesus will make you happy. But the reality is, he does. That's what the Beatitudes tell us. We are supremely happy because we're thinking rightly, because we understand reality, because we know what we are and we know who God is and we know what he should do to us, but we know what he's done for us. And it makes us supremely happy even when we're being persecuted. The challenge, of course, is letting the world know about one of the benefits of the gospel without turning the gospel into one of its benefits. We see that happen too often and we want to stay away from that ditch. But simultaneously, I think we need to identify and recognize the world is definitely struggling, and we're offering them weighted stuffed animals, or we're training animal chaplains offering spiritual care for every species. Raised in the Midwest as a Presbyterian preacher's kid, Sarah Bowen says she's often hauled to hospice facilities and funeral homes, but noticed that the chipmunks and other animals crumpled by the side of the road weren't treated with the same dignity shown to people. So what did she decide to do? Well, I'm going to become an animal chaplain. When a favorite goat had been fatally wounded in a vehicle accident, Bowen led the... This is what she actually does. So that somebody's goat died in an accident. Bowen led the sanctuary staff and volunteers in a ritual that involved writing letters to the goat on dissolvable paper, then drop them in a bowl of water, representing all the tears that were being shed, or the tears that people felt they couldn't shed. And she held a furry wake where humans gathered alongside other goats and sheep to share... To share stories about the goat's antics. And she left the group with a wind chime placed where the accident happened. Wow. Animal chaplains. Supposedly to help people? Not a chance. Because the world system says that we are no different than animals ourselves. I don't know any actual animal chaplains. You want to be an okay, show me a dog that's an animal chaplain. Show me a, I love to make it one of those Australian sheepdogs. They're the smart ones, right? So are there any Australian sheepdog chaplains? Now I'm talking about the four-legged furry kind with a tail. Are there any? The answer is no, because they don't even think about such things. Nevertheless, we're told we're no different than animals. By the way, I do have a demonstration, and there have been a plethora. That's a lot of examples lately of the world trying to lower the descent of man, bringing man down to the level of animal and elevating animals to the level of man. Apparently, there's a Canadian comedian named Mae Martin. I'm not familiar with her. She's hosting, apparently, this is a big thing. Canadian television, since 1960, the CBC, has produced The Nature of Things. It's probably real worldly back then. And it's a big deal in Canada, and she's hosting a show called Fluid, Life Beyond the Binary. You know what that's going to be about, of course. This woman, did I mention, is a comedian. Quote, I want to know what science has to say about gender and sexual fluidity, she says in the presentation on the CBC, The Nature of Things. The episode won't just be limited to exploring the animal kingdom, at least not without a look at humans, because we're animals. We're the same. We're no different. The teaser promises to discover the latest science and debunk, deconstruct old ideas, specifically about transgender people. One expert says the difference between male and female brains is so subtle.
I don't think so.
This person isn't married. Are you kidding me? And I'm not making fun of women. I'm making fun of both genders. We are different. And you can't observe that and you call yourself a scientist? Nevertheless, this expert says the difference between the male and female brain is so subtle. Before we see them taking a human brain out of a vat of fluid and saying, I have no idea what kind of person this comes from. Okay, so it physically is the same. That doesn't mean it operates the same way. There's even a scene in which a teacher is shown explaining trans people to a classroom of children. What do they do to make their case? They show trans behavior in the animals. They show gay animals. See, it's natural. It's a part of nature. Animals do it. We've got opposable thumbs, but we're still animals. We do it too. Therefore, it's okay. The episode won't shy away from tackling some of the most transphobic myths out there. Namely, the idea that brain sex is a real thing. And the idea that explaining transness to children is difficult or dangerous. What a piece of propaganda that is. And what do they use to prove their point? Observing animals in nature. And then suggesting it's normal for that type of behavior to exist. And that is being done constantly. Back to our animal chaplains. Animal chaplain training programs are reporting increased enrollment year over year, as well as a growing recognition that the work they do, it is no joke. I agree. Writing down your favorite memories of a goat on dissolvable paper and putting it in a bowl. How powerful is that? This is beyond animal blessings and pet funerals, said the chaplain. What we're talking about are deep systemic and existential questions about our relationships with other species. The world says you're an animal. And then we suddenly don't feel very, I don't know, purposeful. And then what does the world say? Well, we'll be animal chaplains then. And we'll make you feel better when you lose a pet. It's the world creating the problem, solving the problem, and making the problem actually worse. Animal loss can trigger existential questions about God's existence and character. Never crossed my mind, I'll be honest with you. Or whether animals are in the afterlife. Trained chaplains aren't there to provide answers. But wait a second. Trained chaplains aren't there to provide answers. Then what's your purpose? But are familiar with a range of religious and spiritual worldviews and can help people make meaning from their circumstances. The world is hurting. The world does not know how to deal with the death of a pet. Now, please note, I get it. It's sad when you lose a beloved pet. I get that. But it's devastating to people when a goat dies and they don't know what to do with it. And they don't know how to be thinking in a way that says, it's okay. I understand their purpose. I know why they're here and that they are to serve us. And so I thank God for the time that I did get to spend with that animal. The world doesn't offer that. Instead, all they do is make the problem worse. What an opportunity for the church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start today with Google, who has taken a giant leap into the world of wokeness. Former employees with the company are blowing the whistle, which really isn't doing much of anything but telling us stuff that we already knew, that the tech behemoth isn't just dabbling in diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. They're diving headfirst. Apparently, Google is so dedicated to the DEI fad that it's become a bit of a nightmare to work there. Maybe all that free candy and all those nap pods aren't really as appealing when the company culture is more about social justice warriors than, you know, innovation. Moving to Montana, things have heated up a bit on the legislative front. The Supreme Court just greenlit a ballot measure that would allow voters to decide on whether to restrict abortions up to the very moment of birth. I hate that there has to even be a vote on something like this, but hopefully common sense will prevail and folks will choose to protect the most vulnerable among us. And moving on, it seems like the good folks in Washington State have decided that the bar exam for attorneys, well, that's just a tad too discriminatory. So they're scrapping the mandatory bar exam for aspiring lawyers because it creates an uneven playing field. That's exactly right. The playing field should only be filled with players that actually made the team. That's how that works. I mean, don't you want your attorney to have a certain level of competency? Honestly, these things sound less about equity and more about just lowering standards so anybody can do anything they want. The problem is that's not true. You can be whatever you want to be as long as you meet the criteria. That's how the world works, or at least it used to. I just hope they don't change the qualifications for brain surgeons. And speaking of questionable ideas, how about this, Jim, from the Biden administration? Apparently, internal documents show that one of our top intelligence agencies believes dressing up in women's clothing makes someone a better spy. Look, I'm no James Bond by any means. I have no idea what it means to be a spy for the government. But I will say this. I don't think your wardrobe is as important as other aspects of the job. That's just me. I don't even know what all the aspects of the job are. But I don't think national security should be decided based on the latest fashion trends. But again, I could be wrong. Certainly wouldn't be the first time. And it definitely won't be the last. That's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I am Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Philemon was a Christian and fellow worker with Paul. His slave, named Onesimus, had stolen from him and run away. By God's providence, Onesimus met Paul and became a Christian. Paul sent Onesimus back with this letter, urging Philemon to forgive Onesimus and treat him as a brother in Christ. This letter is a grand example of the gospel in action. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Will I be able to resist the temptation? No, I won't. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I want to play the atheist thing, but you went to the Animal Chaplain Training Center.
One of them. It's
There's
called
more than one.
It's called the Compassion Consortium.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a non-sectarian center.
I hope so.
They offer well-being resources,
yeah,
spiritual guidance,
mm-hmm,
support, and community fellowship to vegans.
Hey, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Those descriptors match some institution I'm familiar with. In other words, they're trying to take the place of God.
Right.
And the local church.
Mm-hmm.
And gathering with like-minded people.
Right.
That is precisely what the world does. They kick God out, and then they try to fill the vacuum with themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, you need community. We shattered community. You need it? Well, then we'll give it to you. Come to our worship center, which is sectarian. All right, what else have they got there?
Well, I think that it's when you look under the description of the chaplaincy training, they say our program is non-denominational and does not require students to have a specific religious or spiritual...
Then why do they call it chaplain?
Well, they're their own religion.
It's a Christian word.
Right.
What exactly do we study if it's not connected to any religion? If you're going to be a spiritual guru when your pet goat dies?
They really don't explain that.
Oh.
Do they
tell you what the price tag is?
They don't tell that either immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they do give the curriculum. I'm sorry.
Oh, let's hear what we've got at the
Animal
Chaplain Training Program.
15 minutes daily of mindfulness.
Oh.
Meditation.
Empty your brain.
And spiritual practice.
So... we're training you to help people by teaching you nothing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, at least for 15 minutes a day. What else have we got?
Oh, there's different levels to this, Todd. You can be...
like a doctorate?
Well, almost. You can be... you can take just the Animal Chaplaincy Foundations course. For 6 more months, you can do and get an Animal Chaplaincy Certificate.
So this isn't 6 whole months.
9 months, if you want to go the whole route, you can be an ordained animal chaplain.
Ordained.
Yeah.
Another Christian word with no significance.
Oh, I found the fees.
Oh, how much? Oh, this should be interesting. All right, I'm going to guess for the is it a 3, 6, and 9 month program?
Yes. Uh-huh.
3 months, $149.99.
$650. For 3 months, 6 months, $14.50, and the whole shebang.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Before you get to the whole shebang, you said it's $250?
What's $650.
Yeah, the first one is six. Okay, go ahead. And the second level is?
$14.50.
Okay, wait a second. Right there's the glitch. If you're going to go longer, you should be paying less.
Right, you're paying over
it
double.
It should be at least $13. How do they go up for the same amount? Could I just do the first level 2 times?
Maybe.
And save some money. Because, hey, I might be an animal chaplain, but I'm no fiscal fool.
But you won't get the certificate.
Oh.
You can just print your own off because that's what they do.
I'm sure they do. Okay, and what the whole shebang is how much?
To be ordained is $2,200. And that's right. Oh, they have payment plans.
Oh, I'm sure they accept PayPal and Zelle or whatever that stuff is. That's the world. That's the world. We're going to rip off ideas from Christian. We are going to totally decimate the institution of Christ Church. And then we're going to take all of the components that human beings need, because that's the way God made them, and we'll just replace them with our own. Again, deconstruction. All right. Now that you've interrupted,
I'm sorry.
Not going to get to the atheist thing, but I do have more examples of the world coming up with really bad ideas, foisting them on society, and then going, oh, we'll fix that for you. For instance, let's go to Oregon, shall we? 3 years ago, Oregon became the first state to decriminalize illicit drugs. That is just stupid. That's just stupid. Oh, I know the rationale. We've got to have safe needles because you don't want the drug addicts getting some sort of disease, do you? Actually, I don't want that. And how's about, crazy, we don't let them put needles in their arms. Just an idea. And they say, no, we need to decriminalize it. We'll provide the needles. Well, guess what? They just reverse course, and they're reinstating criminal penalties for use and possession. In other words, it didn't work. So what do they try to offer? This is the world creating a problem and then saying, we're going to fix it. And that don't work either. So the idea was, rather than criminalizing drug use, you just go to a little bit of therapy. Now, it's not as good, it's not as rigorous as, say, animal chaplaincy, but it is a way for you to get off drugs, and people didn't do it. It was a total, colossal failure. Here's a quote from a clinical professor at the University of Rhode Island College of Pharmacy. We can't think of the Oregon efforts as a failure, really? Because it was never given a chance to get off the ground. Oh, I see. Is that sort of like socialism? That it never works, but it just hasn't been tried rightly yet? The wisdom of the world. Here's some wisdom from the Toronto Police Department. They are seeing a spike in car thefts. 25% increase in the greater Toronto area in 2023. So the Toronto police advised residents, leave your car keys near the front door so that when the criminal who wants to steal your car breaks in looking for the keys, it's convenient for them so that he doesn't use his loaded gun to kill you. Okay, maybe. You know what we could start? In Toronto, what they could do, this could be actually an opportunity to make some money. Feel free to take this idea. It's an outside, non-rustable car key holder where you just hang the keys outside of the door for the criminal to take it. They don't even need to go in the house. And this could become a cottage industry, what it could become. Home invasions and break-ins for auto theft saw a 400% rise. And now they've retracted it. I grant you that. But the fact that somebody, an expert at the Toronto police, said, hey, to prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at the front door because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. A lot of them have guns on them, and they're not toy guns. They're real guns. They're loaded. So make it convenient for them to steal your car. Now, this is a crazy idea. You don't police, crime is up, so make the victims accommodate the criminals so they commit fewer crimes. Oh, okay. All right. I'm tracking with it. Hey, this is going to sound kooky, Mr. Toronto Police Chief. This is just going to be weird. I grant you, it's going to be very archaic. It is very colonialized in its presuppositions. But here's just this idea. I was about, you guys stop the criminals. Why didn't you do that? Why don't you put in policies, legislation, laws that deter crime? And actually, I don't know, do your job? What a world.
Yeah, that's impressive. What a world. That's so impressive.
I know it. It's a kooky idea. I know. It's just crazy. California study. Now this, we are told it is better to have an alive son than a dead daughter. Because all gender confused children, they're going to kill themselves if you Christians don't let them mutilate their bodies. And we'll help because ka-ching, there's a lot of profit in it. California study, attempted suicide rate among men who had gender surgery twice as high as it was before the operation. The world sees a problem. People are confused about their gender. So we'll just jerry-rig vocabulary and make some sort of arbitrary distinction between sex and gender, you know, something that you're assigned versus what you think you are, and make it valid. And then we'll make you feel like a total wicked, oppressive human being for not letting them mutilate their bodies, and we'll say that you're the ones who don't want to pay for or endorse. What do they call the transgender health, the whatever their gussied up term is for injecting hormones into people and mutilating their bodies? You're the bad people. And if you don't let them do it, they're going to kill themselves. So they've identified what they perceive to be a problem of their own making. We've got to set these people free. We've got to let them do it. Otherwise, they're going to take their own lives. And now the results are in. Your fix to the problem has created more problems. Do not forget this statistic, because if you ever talk about these issues, this will be brought up. Do you want people to kill themselves? Hey, did you know about the California study that the attempted suicide rate among men who had gender surgery was twice as high I can't even read to you the things that were done. I can't even read the statistics because they differentiated between boys who do this, girls, men, women who do this, varying rates. But the bottom line is the world's solution to the problem they've created, far worse. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We know that many of you have stood with us in the past, but we also know that it was more than just a one-time gesture. It was a step, a connection, a moment where your faith and your trust in us meant something. You handed us a torch. Now, just think about it. Imagine if you could stand firm with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We're talking about taking the torch that we started and adding fuel to it, illuminating the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to even more souls. We're asking if you could join us, not just for a moment, but for a mission. It's more than a financial commitment, and we hope that you realize that. It is a partnership, a gospel partnership, and the one and only thing in this world that matters at the end of time. Everything else burns away, but what we do with the gospel stands for eternity. The details, well, you can find them right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Important dates in Christian history. 716 AD. Boniface, the Apostle of Germany, sets out as a missionary to bring the gospel to pagan lands. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Christianity found shelter and thrived in Europe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You will never guess who likes TikTok. This is Wretched Radio. Not in a million years. If you asked me, who do you think would defend TikTok? I would never guess Jimmy Hicks, but lo and behold, all right, the TikTok story, Jimmy, you don't think it's as good as some people believe that it is.
Well, I'm not saying it's not good. I just think that there are deeper ramifications to it that I don't think are being considered.
Well, here's the story. The House just passed a TikTok ban because it's owned by China, and they send different stuff to the West than they allow their own people to watch, and it is a tracking device, and so government officials, if you work for the government, my understanding is you can't have the TikTok on your computer because security reasons. And so the House just passed a TikTok ban, bigly, 352 to 65 in favor of the bill. That's, wow, that don't happen too often. And most people went, good, let's keep the TikTok away from the kids, except for one Jimmy Hicks. What's the problem, Jimmy?
Well, I don't think we can look at the end or the end to justify the means. And what I mean by that is that, yeah, it's good. I don't think TikTok should be able to be viewed by our children. But I don't also don't think we should look to the government to regulate what our children are watching, meaning that we should be more active in our parental responsibilities.
I get that angle, but I think part of the concern is that they track Americans, that they know what they look at, they are able to get into their devices. That's a part of it, but a lot of it too is there's just a lot of junk on it.
Yep.
So you're saying that this would be some sort of a lockdown on freedom of speech, and it could be a slippery slope.
Well, yeah, and because I think that once we say, yeah, this is a good idea, we don't, or our children should not be viewing TikTok. Where does that lead? Where does that lead? Now that we've banned TikTok, we've given the government the precedent to ban other things.
Well, I can tell you they're not going to ban pornography anytime soon. That is something they wouldn't touch, absolutely, that hot potato. But apparently TikTok, because it's connected to China. Yeah. There was a story last week. Governor of South Dakota, Noam? Christy Noam?
That's her, yeah.
Yeah. There was an anti-Semitism piece of legislation. And you hear that and you go, rock on. We don't want people hurting Jewish people. We don't want people saying nasty things. But this piece of legislation, it did involve, if you say something that is, and it's defined, by the way, they had a definition. And there were a number of people who were like, wait a second, we don't want Jewish people to be spoken about like that either. But if you say that you can't say those things, then that will be the beginning of the slippery slope to more controlled speech. So that's always, here's another conundrum for you. You're the government, just giving you a second to adjust to that idea. You're the big, sprawling, massive, bloated, fiscally irresponsible government, and you've discovered that there's a child who has a terminal illness that can be cured, but their parents don't want to allow the procedure because of their religion. I'm looking at you, Christian Science. So you're the government. What do you do, Jimmy? Would you then say, we are going to supersede parental rights in order to keep this child safe, let this child live? Too bad for your religion. We are going to trump it with care for the child. What decision would you make?
Yeah, that's a tough conversation.
It's because there's something inside of me that says, yeah, do the right thing.
But also the government's not going to protect children. So,
well, but they actually do on occasion,
right,
with issues like this, as long as it doesn't have to do with gender confusion. I remember talking to a pastor, can't recall who it was, but it was a pastor, so that's close enough. I said, of course the government should get involved because it's the right thing to do. And I said, okay, what about the flip side of the coin that says, well, then they can do that with our children? And his response was, you can just chew on this. This maybe is something to consider at dinner time. His response was, yeah, and so what if they do? You got to do the right thing. You don't not do the right thing. You don't not endorse the right thing just because it might come back and hit you on the other side of things. So, Jimmy, how's about that? Shutting down the TikTok's the right thing, even if it causes some sort of Christian suppression of speech. Huh?
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know.
All right, I got another piece of legislation for you. See if you like this. Governor Youngkin, he's a Republican, signs bill codifying right to same-sex marriage into Virginia law. You okay with that piece of legislation, Jimmy?
Nope,
me neither. It adds a new section to the Code of Virginia declaring marriage lawful, regardless of sex, gender, or race of parties. It states no person authorized to issue a marriage license can deny the issuance of such license to two parties contemplating a lawful marriage on the basis of sex, gender, race, etc. So if you work at the office, the marriage office, the license office, and two dudes come in, two goyles come in, you got to do it. Boo-hoo for your religion. That was approved by a Republican House Bill 174, 22-17. One Republican joined all the Democrats. So it's a Democratic House. One Republican joined, and the Republican governor signed it. Oofda. There was a fair, wasn't a huge amount of support. It went to the Virginia House of Delegates, 54-45. Republicans joined the Democrats in supporting that legislation. So it says that religious organizations and members of the clergy in their religious capacity shall have the right to refuse to perform any marriage, but there's no exception if you're a county clerk or you're involved somehow in the processing of these, air quote, marriage licenses. How long do we think it might be until it doesn't protect clergy anymore? That is the debate. I think we're expecting that rendering from the Supreme Court. That's probably going to be the biggie for the summer, is where they stand on the issue of forcing people to endorse, full-throatedly endorse, a lifestyle that they actually think is a sin. Jimmy, I got a good piece of legislation for you. Oh, Ireland. Did you report this story? I talked about it last week. In Ireland, they were considering taking out a part of their constitution, we'll call it, a section that talked about that the importance of the role of women in raising the children. Oh, how patriarchal is that? Went to vote. Now, this is a democracy. Went to vote. Irish voters defeated constitutional amendments to redefine family and the role of women. That's a shocker, because the Irish people voted for abortion recently to overturn that as being illegal in the country. Article 41's proclamation: the state recognizes the family as the natural, primary, and fundamental unit group of society. That should be a no-brainer. And as a moral institution possessing inalienable and imprescriptible rights, antecedent and superior to all positive law. They wanted to remove the statement stating that marriage is the institution on which the family is founded. 39th Amendment would have clarified the definition of family extends to both marriage and other durable relationships. Ah, and remove the text identifying marriage as the institution on which the family is founded. Shockingly, the people said no go on that. I'm actually really, really surprised at that. I don't know what that tells us about what's going on in Ireland, because as a rule, they're becoming as progressive as any place else on the globe. But this is one instance. Article 41 proclaims the state recognizes that by her life within the home, woman gives to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. I agree with that. But Jimmy, I'm going to sound like you here for a second. The problem with the state having constitutional rights like that or statements like that, I just don't see it's the government's business to be involved in that institution. That is crossing a jurisdictional line. You do your taxation. You keep people safe. Want to do welfare programs. Okay, debatable, but I do think that we see welfare programs in the Old Testament, so I don't think we can argue that welfare programs are necessarily outside of the government's purview. They did have welfare programs in the Old Testament for taking care of the mendicants, the poor people, the gleaners. Nevertheless, when the government gets involved in marriage, uh-oh, now we got trouble. Decades ago, when everybody agreed, marriage between a boy and a girl, we get that. Yep, it's really good for society. Let's promote it by giving tax breaks. Let's do that so that the family stays strong. And I suspect most people cheered because it probably was a good thing then. But then they got more and more involved in marriage and defining what it is. Back to Ireland, the document declares the state shall therefore endeavor to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labor to the neglect of their duties at home. Thinking of Tucker Carlson again when he was talking to Chris Cuomo. Yeah, women's lib. Rip them away from their children. Have them work at Citibank in a cube processing numbers. Yeah, that's liberation. To Ireland, we say, well done. That was my Irish accent. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.